Hey. Good morning. I want to greet you, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' holy name. And I, brethren, I want to use some of Paul's famous words. I come to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, just declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So I just want to greet each of you in that way. And just want to share a few thoughts that I've been piecing together here and there. And I've been attacked several times the past week and a half, just saying, oh, they all know that ain't worthy. But then I come to a conclusion that I come not to you with things for you to hear, but I come to you with new things for you to hear, but I come to you with things to renew your minds with things that you've known and that things that you might have forgotten. So just bear with me, and I pray that you could find this, find something out of this day. For another thought that I had is, when we become ill or sick, we don't just take one vitamin and bang, it's done, it's over with. We continue taking our supplements over and over until we gain healing. So let it be with when we arise to share the word, that it can just be a supplement to what you already know. So what I want to share with on today is submission. I've been thinking on this a lot. It's something that I'm working in my life. I don't have it all down pat. I still fail at times, but the Lord blessed us with an opportunity to look at it again today. So I used to train a lot of horses, and there were times when I would come to a point where I was training some of my horses that I just, like, I was ready to give up. They were horses that was stronger willed, and they would not submit. And when I come to that place, I would realize that I cannot conquer this horse on my own. What is my next step? And as a horse trainer, it is very hard to make that call that I need help. And it can be that way in our spiritual life as well. Because, you know, when I'm training this horse is full of opinion. Is not open for correction. He just doesn't submit to what I am trying to teach him. And so often I find that in my life story, I find that I do not easily submit. At times I catch myself very opinionated. And at times I bristle up when someone speaks into my life. And then I just think of my Heavenly Father, what He has done, what He has given for me. He has given His only begotten Son that no one should perish. He so loved us that He done that for us. And when you make that call for help, there is great power in asking for that. It's not a weakness. I experienced it. Until I made that call for help in my life, it was a struggle. Until I submitted in my own heart and just cried out for help. So, until I was willing to allow Jesus to speak into my life through others, I went through many refining fires. And we do not become valuable until we go through those refining fires and we come out victorious. We have to go through them. And there's no, sometimes, you know, if we would see ahead and we would see those fires, well, we probably would stop and we wouldn't proceed forward. But through God's great mercy and His love, He does not allow us to see those things. But I'm here to tell you that He gives you grace and much mercy to come through those. The healing in the end is beautiful. And just as my horses become valuable to me after they were submit, and maybe it wasn't through me, maybe it was from a fellow horse trainer, but after they would submit, the beauty of being able to take that horse and the value that it brought, the value that it added to it, that's how Jesus can work in our lives. We may not feel valuable. We may not feel needed. We may not feel like there's much use in life for us. But there is a living God, His Son Jesus, that died for you because He loved you. And my thoughts keep going back to that. We become valuable to the Lord once we submit our lives. If God had given up on me, like I did on some of my horses, there was some horses that there was nothing you could do. The one horse hurt me over and over. And she ended up going through 7 different trainers, and her favorite thing was to buck and to kick. And you know, that's where she ended up today. She ended up in the rodeo because that was her thing. And so I had a very good life for her, but that's what she chose to do. And so that is where she went. And now she is expected to do that. I don't know if she enjoys it because she's a horse. Bear with me. But as I can share with you through this, is Jesus is here. He is knocking. He is asking for the entrance to your heart. And if we refuse and we don't give Him that entrance, eventually He will just, here, go do your thing. If that's where you want to be, just go. Because I cannot use you unless you come with a broken and contrite spirit. Once I come to the end of myself, that's when change began. My horses, once they submit, and once they surrender, and I can teach them, this is what I want from you. It becomes beautiful. And that's where change begins. I can lessen the refining fires that I put them through. And I can use them. I can display them to, once they fully submit, and I can display them to their opportunities in life that I train them for. And then they become valuable to those around. When we are going around carrying all our baggage on our own and we are most miserable, once we surrender, that is when we will grow. Jesus puts us through the refining fires, and that's when we become strong. Once we come through those refining fires and are victorious. When your faith endures many conflicts and your spirit sinks low, do not condemn yourself. There's a reason for your season of heaviness. Great soldiers are not made without war. We will not become great soldiers unless we come through those wars, those refining fires. Skillful sailors are not trained on shore. They are out. They are hands-on. Take them to the rough seas, and that's where they learn. The uncut diamond has little brilliance. The unthreshed corn feeds no one. And the untried believer is of little use or beauty. The one who is much plowed and often harrowed will thank God if the result is a large harvest to the praise and glory of God by Jesus Christ. God never blesses a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. When God wants to do an impossible task, he takes an impossible individual and he crushes him. Brokenness is the means through which God performs some of his deepest work within a man's heart. Broken clouds pour rain, broken soil produces a crop. Broken crops yield seeds, broken seed gives life to a new plant. Broken grain gives bread, broken bread gives strength. It is a broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume and the broken spices that release their fragrance. It was the crippling of Jacob that brought God's blessing on him. It is Peter weeping bitterly in repentance who returned to a greater faith than ever. No flower were so lovely as the blue. Were so lovely a blue as those which grow at the foot of a glacier. No stars gleam so brightly as those which glisten in the polar sky. No water tastes so sweet as that which springs in the desert sand. And no faith is so precious as that which lives and triumphs in adversity. God doesn't give the hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. He creates the toughest soldiers out of life's hardest battles. Whenever God means to make a man great, he always breaks him in pieces first. The Lord gets his best soldiers out of the highlands of affliction and brokenness before God is the path to blessing. Seems to be a divine pattern. So let's look at the life of Jesus, the submission that he showed us, the submission that he did for us. If you will, go with me on a little adventure here and see if this all comes out and makes sense. I'm not sure. But we are fighting a battle. And as we fight this battle, at times we are fighting this battle. We as individuals are fighting. The enemy is over here. They are great numbers, But we have great numbers too, and we are fighting this. And there's Jesus has been before us here, and he has fought this. And as we come across there, we push the enemy back. We become weary. But Jesus has made a place for us. He allows us a valley here of sweet rest. And we come down here. And there's still more soldiers being made. There's still more soldiers here. If we continue pushing, pressing in, and going on. We come down here. There's a season in our life where we find rest. It's a place to grow. It's a place to learn of God. It's a place to learn of others that have been there, and they came here, and now they are pushing up. Because when we are here, the enemy can't hit us. We are in a refuge. And that is a good place to be. We must visit it daily. We must come here. And I think it's a place to find relief from the enemy. It gives us a place of refuge, peace, and rest for our souls. And then we come here and we find ourselves at this point. We can repent. If we're not baptized, we can repent and be baptized. As I thought of that, how to make this all make sense. And I thought, in the beginning, when Jesus was baptized, John confirmed in Matthew, the heavens open, and the Spirit, he saw the Spirit of God descend down, the heavens open and descend down, on Jesus Christ, who died for us to give us this place of sweet rest, peace, relief from all our troubles, from all our sins. And he left the direct opening to God. I don't know if it all makes sense, but yes. We can't stay here. We must continue fighting to live. We must find new soldiers. We must continue making new soldiers. Jesus asked that of us. But he doesn't say we can't come back and find ourselves here again and then go back to work. That's what Jesus has asked of us. We must continue the fight, for there are other souls at stake. If we do not hoist the sail when the breeze is favorable, we shall be blameworthy. No one else. If we are out at sea and we are waiting for the right breeze to head in the right direction, and it's there and we don't raise it, we're going to miss it. And who knows, we could go back total other direction. Times of refreshing ought not to pass over us unimproved. So when we come here and we learn of others' mistakes, it's a time to improve. When Jesus himself visits us in tenderness and entreats us to arise, can we be so base as to refuse his request? He has himself risen.
He's no longer there.
He himself has risen. He went through all that agony and pain. He has risen that he can draw us after him, gives us a sense of direction. And by his Holy Spirit he has revived us. Gives us strength to climb up and continue pressing in, pushing in, pushing the enemy back. Brothers and sisters, if we're struggling, let's not let that picture vanish till you have rejoiced in your own deliverance and that and have adored the loving Redeemer upon which your iniquities were laid. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And by his quiet, he conclusively proved himself to be the true Lamb of God. I mean that he left no doubt. The soldiers that stood by, that pierced his side, truly he was the Son of God. So I'll just come to you with some little closing thought here. And I'll take my seat. Let us salute him in this way this morning. And I just ask, be with us, Jesus. And in the silence of our hearts, let us hear the voice of thy love. May God bless you.